Our Heavenly Father, we just draw nigh to Thee. We're so thankful to be here, to be gathered, already having worshipped Thee. Lord, we just love Thee, and we are just so impressed that we have a name that charms our fears. Lord, we just pray that You would give us help. Give Cousin Phil help as he would open the Word to the children below, and just give us help as we would open and explore Your Word. We just pray for Your divine unction, Your divine power. Just pray for wisdom as far as the park meeting today, and continue to pray for help with the gospel tonight. Lord, we do thank Thee now in Thy Son's precious and holy name. Amen. As we'll turn to Luke 8, I have three sections of Scripture that I would like to turn to in the New Testament, and then one story in the Old Testament, one of my favorite stories, and we just want to glean some simple truths from them. And I want to tell you a testimony, a story that has occurred in Clyde, one of my favorite, if I had to rate top 10 stories that happened at Clyde Gospel Hall, this would be up there. And I just want to encourage each other in these things. So Luke 8 and verse 22, very familiar story, and we'll read it. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over to the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased. And there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? And they, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him. Now, I just want to turn now to Luke 24. This particular section was mentioned twice in prayer this morning by our brother Friesen and our brother Wilson. And it's kind of something I just want to make note of in Luke 24. And verse 50. Luke 24 and verse 50. And he led them as far as to Bethany, and he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple praising and blessing God. Now, you don't necessarily have to turn to it. In our Bible study, we're in Hebrews, and I'm going to just read a section in Hebrews 4, kind of where we were a few Wednesday nights ago, and I just want to remind ourselves of this. If you want to turn to it, it's Hebrews 4 and 14, but it would read this. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, and that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now this is where I would like everyone to go to now. It is Exodus 17. This is where we want to spend most of our time, as we just kind of learn the aspects of intercession or prayer. And we just want to look at Exodus 17 and verse 8. So Exodus 17 and verse 8. Then came Amalek. Now we should just remind ourselves what happened in verse 7. These people were coming to a place that was called testing and strife. And this is the question that they had. They had this question, is the Lord among us or not? Now verse 8. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel at Rephidim. And Moses said unto Joshua, Choose out men and go out, fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I will stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in mine hand. So Joshua did as Moses had said to him and fought with Amalek. And Moses, Aaron, and Hur went up to the top of the hill. And it came to pass when Moses held up his hands that Israel prevailed. And when he let down his hands, Amalek prevailed. But Moses' hands were heavy, and they took a stone and put it under him, and he sat thereon, and Aaron and Hur stayed up his hands, or held up his hands, the one on the one side and the other on the other side, and his hands were steady until the going down of the sun. And Joshua discomforted Amalek and his people with the edge of the sword. And the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in the book, and rehearse it to the ears of Joshua. For I will utterly put out the remembrance of Amalek from under heaven. And Moses built an altar and called the name Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord is our banner. For he said, because the Lord has sworn that the Lord will have war with Amalek from generation to generation. You know, I had a Tuesday, for those who weren't here, we had a guest speaker, Malcolm Stanley, and he was giving a missionary report on the Ukraine. And it got me thinking as I went home that night, you know, what if I was asked to give a missionary report on Clyde, okay? What if I was asked to come and to give a missionary report on how things are? You know, I've had the privilege, this is August, and this will be 12 years that I've had the privilege of being on the oversight of a small assembly. And, you know, we've learned a lot, and the Lord has been very gracious. But, you know, what would I have pictures of? What would I have, what would I tell? What would I state as far as what we've done in 12 years? You know, and that got me thinking. On Wednesday, I was thinking, what would I tell? And as I was making notes on this, I was thinking, you know, in 12 years, and I'm just going to, there's people here that are accountants and engineers and stuff that like numbers. I'm just going to go through a few numbers. And then I just want to think, okay, here's the numbers. Okay, so as far as I know, in 12 years at the Assembly of Clyde, we've seen 7 people saved. Okay, 5 are still with us. Like on any given Sunday, you'll still see them. Out of those 5, 2 are from Clyde. In 12 years, we've had 3 baptisms. We've had 2 people received into Assembly Fellowship. We've had 4 funerals. We've had 1 wedding. We have 24 people, 14 women, obviously then 10 male. And our average age is 50.3. Which puts us at a little bit younger for our assemblies that are around us. And so you look at that and you start to, you know, you can crunch the numbers a little bit more and you can say, you know, we average 4 unsaved at a gospel meeting. But, you know, there's also this number that there's 2 numbers that stand out. You know, we've lost 13 people. I mean, moving, but we were a smaller assembly. People moved to bigger cities, and you know, that's hard too. And so sometimes, and this is a weird way to start a ministry meeting, we meet as elders on Monday morning, and sometimes we look at each other and we have this aspect in our mind of, is this sustainable? And the Lord has been very kind to us, very kind. And he is, since March, has been training us on this term called breakthrough. How do we obtain breakthrough? How do we obtain the ability to make impact quickly in the kingdom of God? And how do we shift the environment, in our case, of a community in Clyde? And how do we have breakthrough in these environments? Well, maybe it's not as much of a case here in West End as far as growth. I know I saw the beautiful building, and you know, but I think everyone can relate to the need of breakthrough, the need of even in family life, the need in health issues perhaps, and the need of seeing salvation having impact on the community, of having breakthrough. And so we as an assembly have really been praying on Wednesday nights, our prayer meeting is, Lord, show us how to have breakthroughs. When I came up here to Winnipeg, I always come up here to relax, to enjoy, and just to sit back and to take in the fresh air, because you guys are truly the beautiful people of the Great North, and it's good to see you. But it also is a time when I come up with questions, because I want to go back, refocus. A good vacation is one where you come back with a new focus. And this is kind of what the Lord has laid on my heart this week, of how to go back to Clyde, and how to once again remind ourselves of breakthrough. Like, let's just look at Exodus 17. Like, it's just unusual, the fact that how the Lord laid this out to Moses. He laid out this fact that, let's just think about like Americans or like North Americans, and let's just think about how this should have been, okay? Because this is early on in Israel's history. You know, there's a lot of training that they're going to experience, but this is obviously a concept that the Lord wanted taught to the children right away. And it's a pretty important concept, and I'm going to call it how to shift the atmosphere, how to promote a breakthrough atmosphere. And we can find out that there's this, like, we would have thought that the Lord would say to Moses and to Aaron and to Hur and just say, you know, I'm going to give you guys a ringside view on the hill. You guys are going to sit there and you're going to watch and see what heaven does to these Amalek or to this nation that is pestering you. But yet the Lord trains Moses, and ultimately through Moses, us, he trains us in this fact that, no, I want you a part of intercession. I want you a part of this. And it must have been strange for Moses to realize, and probably obviously not having binoculars, but to sense the battle and how things are going, that when his hands and the rod fell down, that a battle that was, meters away, that they could sense that victory was going towards Amalek. And when the rod was up and when prayer was going forward, they could sense that Joshua was prevailing. And it's an amazing lesson, because we can see this invisible concept called prayer in action. And it's an amazing lesson that God wants us as people of God to partner with Him, and how to, in a sense, shift the atmosphere and to promote an atmosphere of breakthrough. Because that's what we want. We want that ability to know Him. I just want to then remind ourselves of the story of the boat and Jesus on the boat, and how He was told that we are going to go to the other side of the lake. They were going to go to the other side. And the Lord is resting. And we don't know the mental aspects of the disciples, but we would sense that they were thinking, why did Jesus choose us? You know, we're really not the who's who of Galilee. We're not the who's who of Judea. Why did He choose us? And then they get this, and this is my imagination. Maybe it's not right, but the Lord chose us because we're sailors. We're fishermen. We can handle the boat. We know the boat. That's what we do. It's what we are. And that's probably why He chose us. So if the one thing we can do as Christians is we can get Him to the other side of the lake. And so we see this classic test. This classic, if we can use the term, self-confidence. And they were on the lake. And we find that the boat was coming in with water, and there was the stress, and there was that fear that they are in danger of dying. And they come to the Lord, and they wake Him. And He asked them, where is your faith? And we talked a little bit about last week about faith being looking at Him, seeing Him, and being aligned to Him. And we get this impression that what the goal of that the Lord was trying to teach is, no, it's going to happen through me, through my word, and through this. And you get the sense, we don't read of it, and the three times it's mentioned that the Lord raised His hands, but you can almost get the sense that He stood and He just said, peace, or hush, and there became this anti-wave. And really what's amazing is a physical thing took place, but yet a spiritual atmosphere had shifted, because really these disciples suddenly were wondering, were fearful of what manner of man is this? Well, then we move to where we have worshiped this morning about a Savior that was ascended. And as He's ascended, He lifts His hands in blessing. Just as we saw Moses lifting his hands for Joshua, we find our Lord lifting his hands. And we are, we rightfully worship this morning, that what a privilege to know that we have a Savior that's for us. That we have a Savior that is for us. And then we have the verse in Hebrews that, seeing then that we have a great high priest, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. And so, if I could just come up with 4 points, it's simply this. The strange thing as far as breakthrough is He chooses to use us in prayer. The next thing, we find that the battle is for His Lordship. We found that in the banner, the name, Jehovah Nissi, or the Lord is our banner. Is the Lord with us, or is He not? And they would find that, the banner, or the name of the Lord that they established was, He is Lord. And what did they establish in the boat? He is Lord. And we find through the end of Luke that He desires to bless us. And then we find in Hebrews, let us come boldly. Now, I don't know if you guys remember kindergarten or first grade, but there's show and tell time. And I just want to tell you a story that the Lord reminded me of this week. It was a time in the history of Clyde where we... we went out on a limb, okay? We decided to have a young people's day, not a conference, but a day, which people would come in. We had about 100 to 112. When you're smaller, you use the numbers up, you don't round them down or up, but 112. And what was unusual about this is the fact that we really don't have any young people, okay? Our oldest is Clara, and we don't have any teenagers, but we're having a teenage gathering, okay? And we had this date, and the Lord had seemingly arranged it by unique circumstances. And we knew that this was a date that God wanted. And we arranged the speakers. We had the topic of Ephesians 6, okay? And we're going to deal with spiritual war. And, our plan was to have a meal at 12, ministry for 2 hours, and then the rest of the time would be outside with such crazy things as flag football and volleyball and stuff like that. So, Friday, the weather report was terrible, okay? I mean, it was an all-day rain, and it was not looking good, and my coworkers knew that I had a picnic planned, that we was in a shelter house, but we wanted the outdoors, and so it became this test of faith, okay? And sure enough, Saturday, the internet, the radar had just filled Lake Erie. It was all coming north, or coming from the north. And we knew that we were in for it. And this was not good. And it was already 9:55, and I'm getting calls from Detroit saying, "It's pouring here. Are you guys still doing this?" And a call from Lorraine, "It's pouring here. Are you guys still doing this?" Cleveland, "It's pouring here. Are you guys still doing this?" And, so we met and we decided to pray. Okay, we need to pray. But first, right off, we didn't know how to pray. Okay, because at first we're like, okay, we're starting to pray like this: "Lord, if it is Your will that it rains, give us the grace to handle being inside." And then we started to realize, I don't know. We had this theological debate right before our prayer meeting. How do we pray in light of this? And so we were looking at the internet, and we're seeing this thing coming our way. And, this one individual said, "You know what we need is we need a south wind." Okay? And so, you have these things called smartphones, and you can look up verses. And so this individual typed in south wind. Okay, do you guys know any verses that have south wind in it? Well, this one came up. Okay, Psalm 78 and 26. "He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind." So, that was our answer. And we decided, you know what? Let us pray the storm away. We're going to pray that by the power, by His power, He's going to bring in a south wind. Now, this was the coolest day ever because Kristen photographed it. She's not one that likes to take pictures of clouds, but it was worthy of taking pictures of clouds this day because we had a flagpole. We're in America, so it was a United States flag. And And it was blowing north, or it was blowing, let me get it right, north to south. So it was blowing north to south, and that became our text. And we, as we prayed, something strange happened. The flag just dropped, okay? Just went down to the pole. But the clouds are still moving above us, okay? North to south. And so we thought, you know what? The flag has dropped. And so we start praying even more intensely. Like, Lord, this is your promise. Some of us even held our hands to the north and said, we bind you. We stop the north wind from coming to Clyde, and we open up the south wind. And there came a time when that flag started just to go just a little bit to the south. And then we rejoiced, okay? Because we rejoiced in the fact that this was really a small sign. And we worship God, saying, thank you for this wonderful day that you're about to give us. And we rejoiced in His promise. But immediately, we faced a test because people started arriving. And they're saying, man, we drove through the craziest rainstorm. And, you know, we had to pull over, and it's coming, you know, it's coming. And we could see on the internet. And you know, everyone was looking at the sky because over Clyde, we didn't have blue sky, but we had this white sky, and we could see everything going around us. And it became quite impressive. And everyone that day memorized Psalm 78 and 26. And by His power, He brought forth the south wind. And then we faced a test because, you know, the test was, do we switch the order? Do we do our sports first and then have the teaching after when probably it would rain? Or do we go in the order that we have established? And, you know, it was a matter of faith. And we said, you know what? We're going to continue with the order that God has established, and that's putting Him first. And as we ended that meeting at 3 o'clock, we walked out to a blue sky in a huge amphitheater of clouds, okay? Absolute surrounded by these tall white clouds. And, of course, Kristen snapped pictures. Everyone actually did. We all had learned Psalm 78 and 26. And by His power, He brought forth the south wind. And it became a huge lesson on Ephesians 6. Because God, in a sense, brought an object lesson to us that He has the ability to change the pattern. The only regret on that day is that I didn't film the radar, because that would have been great on a video camera. Because you see this huge storm, you see this little hole over Clyde, but the hole doesn't travel with the storm. It just stays over Clyde. And it was just an amazing testimony to what God was able to do. And I just want to encourage us on that, because the Lord reminded me on that, because really that became a very special day. At 6 o'clock, when everything was about to end, and this too was photographed, and Kristen has the pictures, a beautiful, even though we had no rain, a beautiful rainbow formed. A beautiful rainbow out to the east. And everyone just was amazed at how God was able in this aspect to change these things and to cause a change in direction. It caused testimony. You know, as I went to work on Monday, the people that were around Clyde were like, now that was amazing, Kevin. How did, you know, they were just amazed that there was no rain in Clyde. A co-worker that lived two towns away, he goes, Kevin, I'm sorry to hear, you know, you got really poor that day. But no, it didn't. It didn't in Clyde. And so it was just an amazing thing. And the beauty is that four of those young people that were there, they weren't saved that day, but praise God, they were they were saved within 4 months. And that's awesome to see. And just to understand. And so the Lord has challenged me as going back to Clyde is just this. Do we have promises? Has God given you a promise? Now, I know as far as your new building, you guys have received promises. We've talked about that in the past. And the thing is that we have to remind ourselves is that God desires to partner with us in prayer. It's one thing just to you know, just to hold them and just to, but to actually partner with them in intercession, to lay these promises. It doesn't make sense why we have to hold a rod up in order for victory to occur. But yet it's a pattern that God has established that His desire is to bless us, but His desire is for us to work with Him in that prospect. And I just want to remind us of that fact, that simple fact, that we have a great high priest. That we have one who loves to hear us, loves to be with us, loves us and wants us to draw near boldly and to lay hold of the promises and to work with Him in breakthrough. And it is a labor in prayer. Now, some here might be older, and maybe you hear an announcement of painting and you're thinking, man, I can't paint. Well, there is the holding of a rod. There is a desire on your part to hold up the promises that God has given individuals concerning whatever circumstances. Maybe it's family, maybe it's assembly. And holding that up. Because this is a time of that we need encouragement. Now, you guys are in a major project. The one thing that Chris and I did see was that to-do list over there. And, we, in a small part, we renovated a basement of a hall, which, for us was a big deal. But I remember during that prospect of working and doing the time and meeting that some lady, sent a card. And I tell you what, that meant the world. And it's really a small investment. I just want to encourage you to think of that. Just to, I've heard so many people say so many positive things about so many different people, but I sometimes feel I'm the middleman. Why don't you say that to that person? Why don't you send that message to that person? It's, you guys even have a mail system down here. You can save the postage. But this is a time to encourage each other. This is a time to grow together. This is a time to hold each other's hands up. And this is a time to bring things together because we have a high priest. And as we worship this morning, His hands are up. Shall we pray? Our Heavenly Father, we just draw nigh to Thee. We thank Thee for Your goodness and kindness, Lord. We love Your Word. We're so thankful for Your ability to draw near to us and to be kind and just to show us the way. Lord, we just are so thankful that You are the way, that You are the truth, that You are the life. Lord, we just pray for this journey that this group of people are on and just for the promises that they've been given, that they would be held up and that they would be able to see the shift in atmosphere and see tremendous blessing. Lord, we do pray for guidance and the wisdom given. We just pray for direction and help. Lord, we love Thee. And help us as we would sing 191. Just give us guidance, we do pray. In my Son's name, amen.